Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello. Welcome to the Naughty But Nice Show. I'm your host, Rob Shooter, and it is Thursday, which means our dear friend, Loopy Mark Lupo, joins us. Hey, Loopy, are you there?
Loopy Lou is here.
Last week, Loopy Lou, I got a frantic text from Australia. A friend of ours was listening to the show, a naughty. Hello. Mm-hmm. And they know you, Mark. It's our friend Dylan. Mm-hmm. But he had never heard you. He never knew you as Loopy. And now he's obsessed with Loopy.
Well, I'm obsessed with Dylan as well. Equally obsessed.
Obsessed with it. It's lovely. I forget, and I shouldn't. And it's not that I'm not grateful. It's just that we do these in our closet. I think that's the success of this show. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm just sitting with you having a drink and not necessarily taping, recording a show. And so when we get texts or emails or people say they're listening, particularly in different countries, I'm like, oh my goodness.
I love reading the comments too from people from other countries, and they chime in. It really, we're global, Rob. We're
global. We've gone global, Mark. I shoulda to think. Okay, let's jump into the show. What time is it, my friends? It is tea time. We have a ton of Harry stories at the top of the show, so the format might be slightly different today because we're going to get all these Harry stories in because that trial is ongoing. So Harry was reprimanded on the stand in a heated moment. So he was basically told off by counsel during the second day of testimony after he responded to an official question with his own question. Can't do that. You've got to answer the question. So Harry asked, are you suggesting that while I was in the army, that everything was available for the press to write about? And the lawyer shot back, can I just repeat? This isn't about you asking me questions. It's about me asking you questions. It's got to be difficult. Harry has had a very privileged life. He's not used to people really telling him what to do. I can imagine at school he got a special pass. I imagine in life things have come very easy to him. We know these people. We know Bossy Boots. You know these people that work around you. Maybe they're even in your own family. And they don't like being put on the spot. And most of their lives, they are never put in a position like this. Harry put himself in this position. And now these are the rules. There's no special rules because he's a prince. What must it be like for him having to sit on the stand and have to answer questions under oath?
I would imagine, Rob, that the wheels are slowly turning now. And he's realizing that this is not going to be as easy as I thought it would be. And this is a courtroom where the rules apply to all of us. And I am not above them. And that must be difficult. Really difficult.
be difficult. I think he went into this thinking it was another interview with Oprah.
Right.
I sat down, or another interview with one of their friends. This is not.
No.
And being cross-examined, I don't know if it's ever happened to you. I was once on a jury and I loved watching it, although I did have to give a deposition once in a legal case. And I was terrified. It was so different. And I'm quite a bossy boots, and I'm used to being in control of my own environment. I was totally out of control. It was a few hours. Harry was on the stand yesterday for 8 hours. Mine was about 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really difficult for me. Which brings us to our poll question of the day. Prince Harry was reprimanded on the stand as things got very heated. Could you keep your cool in court? Could you keep your cool in court? I think I'd lose it. Go vote on our Twitter page at Naughty Nice Rob, our Facebook page Naughty Gossip, and be sure to check back tomorrow. Before I hand over to you, Mark, we're going to fly through the rest of these Harry news. There's lots of it. So Harry said he would feel injustice if he lost the case. So just to remind everybody, he said the Mirror Group newspapers were involved in hacking his phone, gathering information about him illegally, and they asked, well, would you be upset to find out that you were not hacked? It's a tricky question, isn't it? You want to win your case, but would you rather find out that you were not hacked and then you lose your case? So it's such a clever question. He got a little bit flummoxed by it and he said he doesn't think anybody wants to have their phone hacked. That's true. It's not really answering the question there, but oh my goodness, these lawyers can tie you up in two knots. Marcus, have you ever been involved in any legal action?
I was once on jury duty, and so that was the extent of my legal kind of connections. But I can imagine how one question can trip you up, and then from that point on, it just all unravels, and then you're sweating, and the pressure's on,
yes,
and then it just falls apart.
Yes, it's so wild to watch it. I wish it was televised. If this was in America, this would be better than the Gwyneth Paltrow trial. Oh,
yes.
I'd watch every single day. Also, too, we got a sketch. A sketch has been released because no photographs are allowed in the courts. So we've got a sketch of Harry. This is where it got quite emotional for me. Harry recalls the hurtful headlines when he split up with Chelsea Davey. Do you remember her?
Mm, yes.
Everybody thought he was going to marry her, beautiful blonde girl. And he said it was such a private moment and it was turned into a bit of a laugh for the nation. And he said it was actually Chelsea who decided she just didn't want to be part of this.
Mm.
She didn't want to be under this spotlight, that they got along. She liked him, he liked her. But she just figured out really quickly she didn't want to be chased around by photographers. And so she made the choice to dump Harry.
Mm.
It's so interesting. I would not like this sort of attention on my partner or myself. What about you, Mark?
No, and especially if you're trying to go on a vacation, a couple's retreat somewhere, and then the paparazzi show up and they're photographing
yes.
you. And then everything that you do, now you have to be conscious of that and you can't just be free. And I can imagine how stressful that is for them or any person who's just trying to live their life, you know?
Live your life. What gets difficult for Harry here is that it was a very emotional couple of days, and I believe all those emotions were true, but emotions are not facts necessarily.
Correct.
And he's
yes.
got to prove this. So part of his proof is that when stories leaked about him and Chelsea, they were credited to palace sources.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Harry's saying that just couldn't be the case because I never discussed my relationship with my ex with anybody in the palace. And I'm sure he thinks that. But Mark, we've worked in the celebrity business, the gossip business, for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
You tell somebody, they tell somebody, they tell somebody, and then they tell us. It's often I describe it like dropping a stone into a puddle of water and the rings go out and out and out. And about the eighth or the ninth ring
mm-hmm.
is when my phone literally rings.
Right.
It's not as instant in my experience as you do something, Mark. You have a breakup, God forbid, and you call me or the person you break up with call me. That doesn't happen.
Right.
You go for drinks that night, you tell your friends, you're a bit sad. Those friends then tell their friends, oh, you won't believe Mark broke up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when people like you and me get the tip. It's not that I hacked your phone, it's that you hacked yourself by telling somebody. And I don't believe, even if you are Prince Harry, that you don't tell somebody. We're human beings, we're not robots. We always tell one person
And that one person is not the problem. It's who they tell. And that's how stories get into the media. Your experience, Mark, as a reporter, you were doing the cover stories for Us Weekly. Mm-hmm. How did you find out, without giving away names of your sources, but what was the process? How did stories get to you?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, that's, and to your point, there's this ripple effect. And it might be the bartender who was listening to your conversation, or maybe Chelsea's girlfriend told her friend something. And so there's so many avenues where this news can, you know, originate from. And it's really hard to pinpoint that because there just is so many possibilities. And in this particular case, he has not proven or shown any facts that there is a leak from his phone, or that the phone was tapped in any way.
Yeah, you've got to prove it. You know, in court, you've got to have evidence. And court's not about emotion. Court is about evidence. And I don't think Harry has proved that his phone was tapped. I think if we had some forensic expert who could look at the phone, it's not my world. I don't understand all that technology. I can barely text, if the truth be told. But if we could have an expert look at the phone and say, oh, this was definitely hacked. Harry did say that he noticed a few of his voice messages would disappear, and he thought it was just a glitch on his phone, which anybody who's got an iPhone, they do have glitches. I've had messages that I thought had disappeared. He also said, too, he used to get so drunk, he would forget if he listened to messages. So maybe that's another way. Hacking someone's phone is illegal, and it's very, very, very dramatic. What the Mirror Group is saying is that we did not hack your phone. We got the information from sources, and often you, Harry, were the source, and it was quite an embarrassing moment when Harry pulled up one of these stories. He pulled out 33 stories that really upset him.
Right.
And they pulled up one story. They went through each story one at a time. And they said to Harry, well, this story here about you hurting your knee. And they said, you issued the statement that you hurt your knee. And that's how we got the story.
Wow.
And he was like, oh. Because we do tell people things, even in our own families, our friendship groups. I talk a lot. I do get it. But if I'm smart enough to shut up for a minute, people tell you stuff. I've been at drinks with people, Mark, and they've slipped in a bombshell in the middle of the conversation. And I've been like, oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yes. Oh. And, you know, the thing with reporting, Robin, I think you know this well, people love talking about themselves, right? Yes. And so if you just sit back and be quiet, they'll really reveal more and more and more, and you don't have to do anything but just let it happen.
Yes, yes. And you see things randomly. I remember once Gwyneth Paltrow came to Bottino's, and she didn't have a reservation. It was a really busy night, and they didn't give her a table. Now, that story got out. Gwyneth probably thinks the restaurant leaked it. I was sitting next to the maitre d'. So that's how the story got out. I was just looking.
Right,
I was just
in the right place.
And I saw it. But if you asked Gwyneth, like, how did this story get out? She'd be like, oh, that restaurant leaked it. My phone was hacked. No. It was just by accident. I tell people this all the time, and I think it's so interesting. At award shows, every elevator has a gossip columnist and a reporter, and I hire people to ride the elevators for 4 hours because when celebrities get in the elevator, when the doors close, they start to talk.
Oh, yes.
The other place where we put reporters is in the bathrooms.
Yes.
So the reason the line is so long at the bathrooms at award shows is four of the stalls, one is Radar, one's Us Weekly, one's TM, like all the stalls, nobody's so peeing, but everybody's in the stall just listening to celebrities. At the Met, that happens too. If you want gossip at the Met Ball, don't go to the dinner, don't go to the exhibit, go to the bathroom, sit in a stall all night. People are furious because you use up all the stalls, but that's how you get gossip. So Harry, honestly, it was heartbreaking, really emotional to see this. I'm not sure you have provided the evidence that your phone was tapped, that information was illegally gathered. Okay, moving along, we're going to bang in a few more stories before we go to break. What's going on with Loose Lips, Lance Bass? I love a Lance Bass story, Mark.
Of course, you know Lance is listening right now, too.
Hello, Lance. Hello, hello, hello.
Hi, Lance. So Lance Bass is claiming that Britney Spears had flaked on meeting his kids and called the situation very strange. So Lance Bass claims that Britney Spears' team contacted him so she could meet his twins, only to never hear from them again. She reached out to me through her people wanting to meet the kids and all of that. But Lance then said she flaked when handlers put a stop to the meeting and stopped all communication. He said, you have to talk through people. It's very strange.
Wow.
What do you think about this?
That's an odd thing to say, because he's saying that her people reached out to him, but then her people stopped it. So Lance, if her people didn't want her to meet your kids, they just would never reach out.
Right.
They'd tell Brittany, we reached out and he didn't call us back. That's what, if Brittany said, and I don't know if she said this, but if Brittany was like, I gotta meet Lance's kids, I gotta do that today, and her people would be like, oh yeah, we reached out to him and he didn't get back to us, they wouldn't reach out and then change their mind. There's something not quite right about this story.
No, and I think the bigger question is, why is this a story? Like, why did he have to reveal this? Like, he could have just moved on with his day and no one would have cared, but he has to make this about himself, as he does.
He has to make this about himself. Oh, Lance, keep talking. I love it. I love it. He also added to that he admitted he has no insight into what the singer's doing these days or how she is. They've not spoken a really, really long time. I would argue, Lance, the reason her people or Brittany didn't want to meet your kids is that you would take photographs of it and then you would tell everybody about it. Okay, quickly before we get a break, a really sad story. Wendy Williams' son has broke his silence, saying he fears his mother's death is near. So he said that he's very worried about his mother's battle with alcoholism and her wealth, and he thinks she's got people around her who have not got her best interests at heart. This is the first big interview he has done, and it's a shocking interview. I'm told actually that he spent 3 hours with the reporter, and this interview now is going to be spread out over the next few days. Lots and lots of more bombshells to come. It is so heartbreaking. We know Wendy a little bit on this show and we love her.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, really hope that he did this interview not for revenge, but to save her life, to get her help. I hope she reads it. I hope she sees it. I hope she's listening to the Naughty But Nice podcast, because Wendy, we love you. Hello, hello, hello.
We
want you to get some help. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and we will be right back. Welcome back to the Naughty But Nice Show. I'm Rob Shooter with Loopy. Hey, Loopy, let's get to the polls. Da, da, da. Thank you very much, Loopy. Okay, so Prince Harry has blasted the damaging rumour that Prince Charles is not his real dad. It sort of takes all legitimacy away from him, because if he's not the son of Prince Charles, then he's not a prince. In which case, why are you living in that palace? I want the palace back.
You're, right.
You're only there because of, you're not there because you won a competition. You're there because you won the lottery of life and Prince Charles is your dad. So he said it was very damaging, the rumour that he was not actually really a member of the royal family. Should he be compensated? Remember, this is not a criminal trial, it's a civil trial. So really the only payoff is money. There's no prison sentence here. Should he be compensated? Let's have a look. 60% said yes. He should be. You are on Team Harry here. Don't forget to vote on today's poll. Go to our Twitter page at Naughty Nice Rob. Our Facebook page is Naughty Gossip. And be sure to check back tomorrow to hear your results. And now, be careful, Mark. The beehive will get you. And nicest of the day.
Oh, spoiler alert. It's Beyonce, Rob. And Beyonce was dancing through a wardrobe malfunction on her Renaissance tour. Rob, Beyonce is known for putting on a flawless show. I've been several times.
Flawless.
But her hat didn't get the memo during the tour in the sold-out show in London. As she was dancing and going back and forth, her bedazzled headpiece began sliding down her forehead, forcing Beyonce to hold it in place with one hand as she continued her choreography. What do you think?
I have the video. She's just such a professional. You can tell that she's been doing this since she was a child. Performing is in her bones. When something goes wrong, she just knows what to do. She's really, really good at this. And so, Beyonce, you were such a professional and nicest of the day. Fire that hat. Get rid of that hat, Beyonce. Okay, let's do our naughties of the day. Really horrible naughties of the day. Justin Bieber's dad posted a homophobic message during Pride Month. Jeremy Bieber took to Twitter to share a homophobic meme featuring a rainbow flag with the sarcastic comment, quote, "Don't forget to thank a straight person this month for your existence," saying that the only reason gay people exist is because straight people gave birth to them. Now, the post has since been deleted, However, what a horrible, mean, nasty thing to do. Nobody asked him. He was just sitting there at home, wherever he was, and he decided, ah, oh, I'm going to say this. It's so alien to me, Mark. Now, if somebody asks me a question, I might give the wrong answer, and I might say something I regret, but I don't just sit there at home thinking about how can I be nasty? How can I score a point? Awful.
I mean, the irony is clearly lost on him as well, because he left his son high and dry and did not mm-hmm. raise him, was not a part of that nuclear family he so mm-hmm. coveted. And I mean, it's just gross. It's nasty and unnecessary.
Nasty, unnecessary. Yeah, you're right. You walked out on Justin Bieber when he was a little kid.
Yeah.
This is very well documented. Justin's talked about it. Jeremy Bieber, you are our nastiest of the day. Should Justin say something? It's very difficult, isn't it? When we've all got parents, and when they say something awful or odd, should we say anything at the moment? So far, Justin has not said a word. Okay, let's end with something much happier. A moment of Rob. You get a Rob, you get a Rob, you get a Rob. Smart people fail all the time. Remind yourself of that every single day. You gotta fail. Don't be scared to give it a go. Give it a go. Try. That's all you need to do to succeed is try. You might fail, but that's part of the process.
Yes.
I don't think I like the expression, fake it till you make it. Because I would argue, you're never faking it. You're learning. You're learning your craft. Every time you do it and you fail, you get better. That's how life works. So remember that. Smart people fail all the time. I pray, Mark, you're going to fail 10 times today. That sounds terrible, doesn't it? But it's actually a compliment, because
yes,
it means that you are constantly trying to do new stuff, and that's what life is all about. That's it for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Naughty But Nice with Rob and Mark Show, a production of iHeartRadio. Don't forget to subscribe on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen, and leave us a review if you can. They really do help. And remember, all together now, if you're going to be naughty, you've got to be
nice.
Take care, everybody. Bip, bip, bye.
It's Naughty But Nice with Rob.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like $1 million.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.